gently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Welcome to another edition of the Friar Phil Show. We're playing Video Killed the Radio Star today because we have another videographer on the line with us that we're going to meet in just a moment. First, I'm going to point out for anybody listening to this, you listen to it, and maybe the next day, the day after, or the same day when I put it up. If you're listening the same day, I just want to mention that it's 8 years ago that we lost Mr. Padre, Tony Gwynn. And I tell you what, he left too soon, but he left a big mark on everybody. I mean, everybody that comes to the park sees his statue. Kids who see his statue ask who he is, who's that? Well, that's Mr. Padre. And his reputation and his whole being lives on throughout Petco Park, in my opinion. Okay, we have Ben from we got to get rid of that first. We have Ben on the line. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. Going good. First things first, let's learn a little bit about you. Can you tell me about how you started doing what you do on the video and podcast, etc., and what got you interested in baseball to begin with?
Yeah, so I've been interested in baseball since I was a little kid, played Little League, all that stuff. My mom won a softball national championship in 1986 with Cal State Fullerton. And my other parent, my other mom, also played in adult baseball as well. Just a big baseball family. We had season tickets when I was really little. I don't remember that. But then when I was 13, we got season tickets again so that we could go to the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby and all that stuff at Petco in 2016. And had season tickets ever since then. And when COVID kind of happened, that's when I really started thinking about this. It was an outlet for me to give my thoughts about the team, that I love. My sisters, they're not the biggest baseball fans, like diehard, follow the team every day. And neither are my moms. I mean, they follow the team, but not on like a day-by-day basis and – watching every pitch, essentially, like kind of how I do. And so that it's my outlet to give my thoughts. And so, yeah, it's the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Just look up Talking Friars on YouTube and you can find the channel there. And at Talking Friars on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. And I've had tons and tons of guests, former Padres, Adam Rosales, Heath Bell, Tyson Ross, Clayton Richard. Just had Andy Ashby on yesterday or a couple days ago. So it's been really fun to talk to them. And I've had on a lot of sports radio talk show hosts, Stephen Woods, Paul Reindel, Chris Ello, Jim Russell, John Schaefer. John and Jim have been great to me. And so I just love talking baseball with really anyone. And So I appreciate you having me on, and I encourage everyone to follow my content, because I don't do it for the money. I have pregame shows on YouTube before every game, and I don't get paid for that. And I'm posting highlights on the Twitter account at Talking Friars, and I don't get paid for that. I do it for the love of the Padres.
Pretty good, pretty good. And, you know, I don't do what I do for pay either, but sometimes it's nice. Oh, and that reminds me, don't forget, if you're listening to the program and you're a regular listener, you can support the program by visiting the main webpage and hitting that support button. And you have three different choices. You've got 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99. And you can pick one of those if you care to contribute to the cause. The cause being Friar Phil and survival in this economy. Now, the most interesting thing that happened today, I think, in today's ball game was Eric Hosmer and his bat. Have you ever seen a bat break like that?
I've never seen the knob totally do that. No. Yeah, I posted it on Twitter. Yeah, it was crazy. I first did not realize what happened. I thought it was just a regular broken bat type thing. But it looked weird watching it live, and then you see the replay. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Because he's just... I think it blew his mind away as well, because he's just standing there looking at the handle of the bat, wondering, how the hell did I do this? But fortunately...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Fortunately, nobody was hurt as the rest of the bat went flying, so that's good. So we've had a good couple of days. Well, 4 days, actually. We swept the Chicago Cubs today and really beat the tar out of them the day before. 19 runs scored. And, you know, you brought something up about the game where we scored 19 runs on your post-game show today. Could you share that again with us?
Well, I remember what I said just about the series overall, and you can tell me if any of these is what you're referring to. They scored 41 runs in these four games. Jake Cronenworth had 10 hits in the series. He had three straight three-hit games on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Manny, obviously, with his 1,500th, and then now he's at like 1,503 hits. I think Manny and Cronenworth, I have it here. Hold on 1 second. Manny and Cronenworth combined for 17 hits and 10 runs driven in this series. Those were the big points. I think it was yesterday, you know, when they scored 19 runs, that they had Alfaro, Mazzara, Profar, Manny, Cronenworth. They had so many guys driving in runs. It was just a tremendous, tremendous offensive explosion pretty much in these four games. They came back in all four of them to win. And then great pitching performances, obviously, from Joe Musgrove today. 7 innings, 2 earned runs, and then Yu Darvish on Monday going 8 innings.
Yes, that was great. It was funny that we scored 19 runs that day, and today is the sad anniversary of the death of Tony Gwynn. I just wonder if he was helping out a little yesterday, saying, yeah, come on, one more, make it, come on, make it 19.
Yeah, he was, I hope he's smiling down on this team, because this team is definitely having a lot of fun and a lot of success right now.
I'm sure he is. He's also smiling down on his son, Tony Gwynn Jr., with his newfound broadcasting career. Anybody who watches TV doesn't know it, probably, because they don't listen to the radio. But if you listen to the radio, on the right-hand side of Jesse Agler is Tony Gwynn Jr. doing the broadcast this year for every Padres game. So his dad's got to be proud of him, too. I certainly would be if I was Tony Gwynn's dad. Good, good person. I don't like it. You were talking about this afternoon, and it was in your chat, about people who are the naysayers, the people that, you know, you're behind a couple of runs early in the game and they've decided, you know, everything sucks and the Padres suck and stuff like that. I can't stand people that do that. Now, I'll do that sometimes, you know, when it's warranted.
Right.
Like with Weathers, you know, that experiment didn't work out too well. But after we came back the day before from a deficit to get 19 runs, to be upset and worried and talking all that crap for a 4-2 deficit is crazy to me, because look what we did yesterday. This team has the ability to come back, and it did today. And the result was a win, a nice win. 6-4 was the score.
Yeah, and, you know, adding to that, that's why it didn't make a lot of sense to me when I was watching that game, and I saw some people reply to me on Twitter saying that when this team's bad, they're really bad. It's like they must have not watched Tuesday night's game where they came back from being down 5-0 and scored, I think, 12 unanswered runs.
Right.
So there's always going to be those fans, and I realize that. But at the same time, there's some situations where it kind of just doesn't make sense for fans to literally put that out there. Like, you can think it, but putting it out there, you just look stupid. You're going to end up looking stupid, because you're going to end up, it's going to be obvious. I'll put it this way. It's going to be obvious that you don't know what you're talking about by the end of the night, because I'm going to have screenshots of when you sent that this team sucks and they end up winning and scoring 19 runs, you know?
Yeah. You will feel like a fool. And that's warranted. You know, good. Feel like a fool all you want. But, yeah, you know, come on, people. I think the diehard Padre fans, the people that follow games every day and they really know the team, aren't the ones that are putting that sort of thing out. It's more the casual fan, or the fan that pays more attention to Twitter than what's happening in the ball game. I don't know.
But even if they're a casual fan, you know that this team is a really good team this year.
Yeah. I mean, you have to know it. If you don't, you know, there's a problem. And this good team, I hope, will continue on in Colorado now. We've got 3 games coming up with the Colorado Rockies. And we didn't do fabulous at home with the Rockies. There's a game or two I thought we should have won. But maybe we'll have the momentum from the series in Chicago going into Colorado. And certainly, if this offense stays as engaged as it is, we're going to the launching pad in Colorado. So, you know, if anything, you should see more home runs, more good baseball. You know, and another thing, Ben, I've liked about watching the last 4 days of baseball with the Padres is the fact that they're not all going for the home run. For a long time with this team, that's what the players would do. They go up and they try and hit that home run to catch up because they were behind. And I love the way they're playing now. They're playing a little small ball. If they get a hold of one to have a home run, fine and good. But they're playing so much differently. And the proof is in the pudding. Look at the sweep we just had of the lousy Cubs. You know, okay, they're lousy. But they still did the job. They did the work. They got the hits. They performed. And this is so different than any other team, any of the time I've seen as a Padre fan since I've been here. And I've been here like over 21 years.
Yeah, and you make a good point about them not swinging, you know, for the fences and all that. Look, that swinging for the fences, there are certain players that we know that that's just who they are. Luke Voit, right? it feels like that's what his approach is. But, you know, when he's hot like this, that isn't really his approach. We see doubles down the line. We see balls in the gap, line drives. Yeah, he's going to strike out. But just putting the ball in play, getting back to fundamentals, you're going to end up taking advantage of some of the team's mistakes when you play like that.
Oh, yeah. You're going to, no doubt. I can't stand, though, when they swing at ball four, where you have a pitcher throwing a lot of balls and they swing at ball four and it's you're struck out and it's the end of the inning.
Yeah, I agree.
That drives me crazy. So Colorado, what do you think is going to happen? I don't want you to be predictive and, you know, a psychic and tell me exactly what's going to happen. But what's your feeling towards the team, towards what we're looking to face in Colorado with the Rockies?
Well, as for tomorrow's game, Mackenzie Gore and Kyle Freeland, I think that Gore definitely has a great chance to redeem himself. I know Coors Field isn't the friendliest pitcher ballpark, but I find it hard that Gore is going to be that bad as he was last weekend, where he literally just could not throw the fastball inside the strike zone consistently. I think he'll be able to do that against Colorado. And Colorado, do they have a couple, you know, good bats in that lineup? Sure. But I don't think that they're the Padres lineup or the Dodgers lineup. And so I'm not asking Gore to go six innings, one run. If he can go six innings, three runs, something like that, just make progress to getting back to who he was a couple starts ago, then I'll be fine with that. And Nick Martinez, he always gives you a chance to win. Blake Snell, don't really know what you're going to expect out of him. But I thought his last start was much better, obviously, than the Mets start. So I like their chances.
Yeah, me too. And I really am going to be rooting for Gore tomorrow to really do a good job. And I think he will. I think if you're realistic about it, you've got a great pitching staff. But each one of these pitchers isn't going to have a perfect game every time they go out to pitch. Sometimes they're going to have, you know, little off days, you know, not being able to locate the fastball, or whatever the problem seems to be with their pitching that day. Just, you know, all of us, not just in baseball, but in life, you know, we don't have perfect sunshine days every day. You know, we have a little cloudiness and we have a little drama that happens and we have stuff that doesn't really go very well for us. So that happens in life and that's going to happen in baseball and especially with a pitching rotation, no matter how great they are. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. There's always going to be those peaks and valleys. And with Mackenzie Gore, like, he's a rookie. We got to lower our expectations a little bit and just kind of be thankful that he's in the big leagues and he is the National League Rookie of the Year front runner. Like, based on what he was last year and what he is this year, if you compare those two, it's total opposites, polar opposites. They're totally two different pitchers. So I think we just have to be grateful that Gore's in the big leagues. We have an amazing rotation, and you just get what you can get. I think he's definitely going to pitch better tomorrow.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and he'll be motivated. I think he seems to be like a really good kid. He seems like he's very focused. When he's pitching, I've heard he's very focused on the days he pitches, you know, before the game, after the game, he lets loose a little bit. But before the game, he's very focused on what the task at hand is going to be that day. And that task will be playing the Colorado Rockies. And you're right. They're not the Padres. They don't have the team that we have. They don't have the team even that they had last year with, what, Trey Turner? Was there, yep. Etc. You know, so while Bud Black's doing the best job he can with what he's got to work with, you know, we can beat this team. It's just a matter of going in there and doing the same thing we did in Chicago, play as a team. None of this individual stuff. We're going to swing for the fences so I can get a home run or get the big hit. Play as a team. And I think that's the difference with the Padres now as well, especially in the last four games. They're playing like a team. There's a cohesiveness. And a word that I mentioned, you know, a few programs back, I think with my friend E.T. when he was on, I said what the Padres were lacking after Tatis left was fun. F-U-N, fun. And the guys seem to be having fun again. And when they have fun, they seem to do well. I don't know if you find that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were having fun even without Tatis. You're referring to last year, right?
Yeah, last year, or just in general this year, you know, it seems like there's a change. There's, you know, a lot more fun happening in the dugout and just a lot more activity that looks fun to me, you know.
Okay, well, I think it's a simple explanation. Winning is fun. I mean, when they're winning, it's easy to celebrate and be taking the Polaroid pictures and all that. Last year when they were collapsing, it's hard to, you know, be smiling all the time. Bob Melvin, of course, that's been an amazing hire. It was an outside-the-box hire, and he has really let the clubhouse be the player's place to be themselves. He doesn't really go in there. He talks with them on the field. I agree that they're having fun, but winning is fun. I guess that's the simplest way to put it.
Yeah, winning is fun. I think Bob Melvin, you brought up Bomel, and I got to say, I really like this guy. I liked what he did in Oakland when he had not as good a team to work with, and he did some great things with the Oakland A's. And now, you know, it was a real thrill for me when we hired Bob Melvin. And it wasn't another friend that's, you know, Joe Schmo, another friend from Texas that A.J. Preller knows, you know, like Jay Stengler. We actually got a real manager with real experience. And I had a feeling in the back of my head, you know, that this was going to be a special year. Something good's going to come out of this, you know, having a real manager.
Well, yeah, and I think he made that move because he had to make that move.
Yeah.
And this team is better than last year's team. And part of it, you got to give credit to Preller for making that outside-the-box hire and bringing in Ruben Niebla, and the coaching staff's been great. But also give credit to some of the moves that he's made, bringing in Manaea and bringing in Nick Martinez. He's been solid. Bringing in Luke Voit as of late, that's worked out. Don't really know what Justin Lang's going to be, you know, with the Yankees, but Voit, he's been working out pretty well right now. Sticking with Profar has actually been pretty good instead of going out and signing, you know, say a Suzuki or whatever. Like, that can definitely change, but we definitely still got to give credit to the moves that Preller has made that, and I'll be honest, that I wasn't, you know, completely sold on when he made the moves in the offseason. Jorge Alfaro is another one who should be the starting catcher right now, and we weren't really thinking that much of that move when it happened.
It's funny how things change like that in baseball.
Taylor Rogers is another one. I totally forgot him.
Yeah. We can't forget Taylor Rogers, our closer. So, yeah, I'm not totally anti-A.J. Preller. I just didn't like him hiring his friends, you know, instead of somebody that was a Bob Melvin type manager with experience. But I do give him credit, like you said, for all the things you mentioned. I do give him credit for that and appreciate that and understand that, you know, if he hadn't done the majority of that, we wouldn't have the team we have now. We wouldn't have half the team we have now.
Yeah.
So here's to here's some ginger ale to AJ Preller. Good job. All right. Now, anything else on your mind today? Baseball wise, Padre wise.
I mean, just how great the offense was against Chicago. Right now, there's, you know, Kevin Acey just put out a article with some Joe Musgrove news that I tweeted out. Acey said that the Padres continue to offer Musgrove an incentive-laden contract that does not appeal to Musgrove. He also said that the recent offers from the Padres were frustrating, according to people in the know. They were frustrating to Musgrove, according to people in the know. So that's a little disappointing, but I'm not going to overreact to that news because it is still early. There's still plenty of time to get an extension done. And this is what usually happens. There's one side, the team tries to, you know, offer the least amount that they possibly can. The player wants the most that they possibly can get, and then they try to move towards the middle. And this is the stage where the Padres are at right now, where they're trying to offer the least amount of guaranteed money as they can and try to make it incentive laden. So, like, the money's not guaranteed, and he'll get this money if he reaches, you know, specific number of starts, or if he wins Cy Young or top five in Cy Young. I assume that's what the incentive laden stuff is. That's what it's been in past contracts. And then Musgrove, though, as he should and as he's deserved, with his time with the Padres, he wants that guaranteed contract. And I think if look, he knows if he went into the free agent market right now, he would get easily over $20 million guaranteed a year.
Oh, yeah.
I think he would get $25 million a year, AAV, easily, guaranteed. So he's not going to take this offer, and I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, man, you know, one step closer to him joining, I don't know, the Giants or the Red Sox.
Or the Dodgers.
Well, that's, I'm not even mentioning them because that's the one team they could offer him $300 million, and I don't think he would sign there.
Yeah.
But so I'm not going to overreact to that, but anyone on Twitter knows that, you know, I'm big on the extend Musgrove, you know, front, and I hope they get that deal done.
Oh, I'm big on it too. I mean, you just watch him pitch and you think Mr. Padre the second, you know. Not to compare him to Tony Gwynn and his career, because Tony Gwynn obviously was a batter and wasn't a pitcher, but there's something about Joe Musgrove that says San Diego. I mean, he's from here. He went to Grossmont High School. He just seems like a perfect fit for this team. And look at what he's done in his time here with San Diego. You know, look at it. Why not give him top dollar? You know?
Well, because right now the team is, like I mentioned, they're in that phase of trying to get the best, you know, the team-friendliest deal. I'm not saying that they're not willing to give him the money that he wants, but right now they know that they have a lot of time to get a deal done, so they're going to give him the least amount of money, guaranteed money, that they can. And from what I've heard, it's not $11 million a year like the offer that we heard earlier this year. It's a little bit more than that. Don't know how many years, but they're definitely a while away. But again, the time is on their side. They still have plenty of time to get a deal done.
Yeah. How smart do you think it was to bring up Weathers to pitch for one game?
I thought it was fine. They knew that they were going to win the series, take at least 3 out of 4. And they didn't think they were going to score 19 runs, probably. But, you know, I think they were kind of like, what other options do we have? We want Joe Musgrove to be pitching every 6 day because Kleb's going to come back from COVID. And so if we were going to go Musgrove in the series finale against the Cubs and pitch him on regular every 5th day rest, he would be going right back to every 6th day. and they just wanted to keep it at every 6 day and not have him go from 5 days to every 6 day. Because that's what would happen with Clev probably being back in the rotation the next time around. Mara Hone's back already. So they used Kinnear out of the bullpen last weekend, and they just thought, hey, Weathers has been here before. If it doesn't go well, we can go with Stammen. I think they saw that the Cubs bullpen sucks right now. And so they're like, hey, let's try this. We think our offense can score runs, and we'll see where it goes. If we lose the game, it's not the end of the world. We're going to take 3 out of 4. And they didn't just take 3 out of 4. They took 4 out of 4.
I don't know if you saw on the Padres Twitter, but they put up a little graphic that says seventh pitcher since 1994 to begin a season with 12 or more quality starts. Yet another, you know, check mark in his box for, you know, keeping him here in San Diego.
Yep, for Musgrove. Yep, it's impressive. And he's been so good that there's some fans that we're saying Musgrove's off today after giving up 2 runs. That's how good he's been.
God. He's off today because he gave up 2 runs. Yeah, that's going to happen. This is baseball, people. Don't you understand? You know, the other team can hit the ball as well and possibly get a home run or manufacture runs. The trick is to make more than they make and have good, solid pitching like Musgrove. I can't believe people were saying that today. He was off because he gave up 2 runs. I heard that correctly, right?
Yeah, and part of, I guess, why they were saying that is good, though, because, you know, giving up 2 runs, that's a good start, obviously.
Yeah.
But the way that Musgrove's been pitching, he's been pitching so well that the expectations have changed to, you know, 7 innings shutout or 7 innings, 1 run. That's good for the Padres because that means that he's definitely keeping them in games and being the reason why they win some games.
Yeah. Think about that, naysayers. And think about this, too. San Diego Padres are in first place by themselves with a 41-24 record. The Dodgers are a half a game behind with a 39-23 record. San Francisco Giants are 35-27. Arizona Diamondbacks are 30-35. And the Colorado Rockies, who we're playing in the next 3 days, is 27-36 in last place. Now, if you can't beat a last place team, you know, there's something wrong, you know? If we can beat the Mets and Milwaukee, certainly we'll be able to do damage to the Colorado Rockies, especially in their home stadium, which is a launching pad.
You would think. Yeah, you would think, but that hasn't always happened. We saw that last year when they got swept, I think, a couple times in Colorado.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about that stadium, but hopefully our guys will do good. I'm trying to keep it positive and keep a positive attitude towards it. Not thinking about any of that, just thinking about the last 4 days and how the team has done, and that will carry over, hopefully, into Colorado. I hope. Let's see, anything else you can think of that has to go with Padres or baseball that you'd like to talk about?
I mean, Padres, we've covered pretty much all of it. Offensively, Musgrove, seeing the Dodgers not get the no-hitter last night was cool.
Oh, yeah. I stayed up long enough to make sure that happened. And Ohtani. Yeah. Did it himself.
Yep.
Hit a nice hit and ruined the dreams of Dodger fans, which I always don't mind doing. Although, I do have Dodger fans that follow me on Twitter, but they're the decent Dodger fans. They're not the idiots and assholes that you see that come to the park with
yeah, you can't find too many of those.
Yeah, they're few and far between, but I'm lucky. I have good people on Twitter that are like that. How about the minor leagues? Who do you see as an up and coming, you know, not for this year, but up and coming, besides C.J. Abrams and the names we're already familiar with?
Esther Ruiz, I think, could come up later this year. But beyond this year, I've had Kevin Copps on the show. He's in, I think, Double-A right now, a reliever out of Arkansas. He definitely has, like, closer ability. There is, I think, Corey Howell is his name. I think they acquired him in the Victor Caratini trade with Milwaukee this past offseason. And he's been doing really well in San Antonio. I think he almost hit for the cycle the other night. Obviously, Hassel, the big names. James Wood, I think, has had some injuries this year. But the farm system, it's just not as deep as it used to be.
Hmm. So we need to deepen it a little bit. Maybe that's on the agenda, too, with A.J. Preller.
Yeah, they got the MLB Draft Combine at Petco tomorrow. I'm going to that. So we'll see if I'll be able to talk to A.J. at all. But, yeah, it'll be fun to see some top high school, college guys out there. And I was watching the coverage on MLB Network today, earlier today, and they were doing the you know, the 30-yard sprints and the jumps. And it was really cool to see that, because it's a new thing, and I think it could help not just A.J. Preller but other general managers around the game and their scouting staffs and all that, you know, help out their evaluation process, interviews, the in-person interviews. Every team has a suite at Petco set up where they can have prospects come in and talk to them. So I think it's a really good thing that they have going on there. But that's pretty much what is going on with the draft.
And what exactly are they doing? I understand that you know, their suites are set up and they can go talk to prospective teams. But are there any games going to be played or anything like that?
I believe there was a couple games today. I'm sure there were games yesterday. Then I would think that there's going to be games tomorrow, probably in the morning. There's going to be, you know, batting practice or fielding sessions. I know at the Combine last year, they had, like, shortstops and outfielders, you know, showing off their arm and fielding and stuff like that. Same with catchers. And then doing game work, stuff like that. But, yeah, MLB Network's usually live there. They're going to be live there tomorrow. That's what I know is going on.
Is there any cost for this?
No, it's free.
It's free? Okay, so anybody that wants to go, it's free. My favorite four letters. Wow, that sounds interesting. I might actually wheel myself down there and check that out. I need something to do on days off. I don't know what to do with myself if there's no Padres game during baseball season. I just kind of wander around the house trying to find things to do. And sometimes I've got a website that's full of classic old-time baseball games. I listen to those sometimes, too, when I am missing a Padres game on a day off. All right. It looks like we've talked about everything we could possibly talk about in 39 minutes. You want to tell us again where your YouTube is and how to find you and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so on YouTube, just look up Talking Friars. You'll find it there. It has the Talking Friars logo, I believe, and then just hit the subscribe button, turn on the notifications so you don't miss any Padres content that I'm putting out there. Pre-game shows, post-game reactions, series reactions, interviews. I try to get an interview every week. What else? Breakdowns. Sometimes when, you know, a player gets ejected or something, I'll make a breakdown about it and kind of lip read what they say. So some fans have liked that this year. And then on social media, at Talking Friars on Twitter, that's where I'm the most active. And that's where I clip all of the game highlights, and put a lot of that on there, and then on Instagram and TikTok as well, just at Talking Friars. Game highlights there, not as much, usually like the home runs or the main plays, and then the post-game reactions and mm-hmm. alerting when episodes are out, stuff like that. Pre-game bullpen usage charts also go up on the Twitter and the Instagram, where before every game, I put up the entire bullpen and their pitch counts through the last 5 days, so we can kind of play manager ourselves and kind of see, okay, how will, you know, Bob Melvin, or in this case, how will Ryan Flaherty maybe approach using the bullpen after a starter, you know, comes out of the game. So have a lot of stuff, daily Padres content, and I hope you guys follow me.
Yeah, do follow him. I follow him, and I appreciate the content you put on Twitter, the post-game and pre-game videos. All the stuff you do, Ben, is really fantastic, and I really appreciate you taking the time, you know, as a fan and as somebody that, like you said, doesn't get paid for this, doing all this stuff. It's really fantastic. It really is. All right. It was good having you on the program. Finally, I had to cancel last week because I was getting a angio in the middle of the days I needed to do the podcast. So we finally got it in, and I'm going to have you on again for sure. You're a great guest. You're very knowledgeable, and I wish you nothing but success in the future.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, we'll definitely do it again.
All righty. That was a really good conversation with Ben from Talking Friars. I hope you guys do go check it out. Unfortunately, we got to end the program with another death. Yes, I'm becoming the Grim Reaper, but Jim Seals, who many of you that were from the 1970s and knew his work with Seals and Croft, died on June 6th at the age of 79. And like I said, the duo was Seals and Croft, and they had a cluster of hits in the 1970s, including the breakthrough song Summer Breeze. So if you don't remember the song, you know, that's okay. I've got it here to end the show with. Rest in peace, Jim Seals, and thank you once again to another musician who gave us great work, great songs, and has passed away to join all the other musicians up in the sky. We're finished for today. I want you guys to take care of yourselves, take care of each other. Keep your heart and your mind open. This is Summer Breeze by Seals and Croft.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's all right. Breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. See the paper laying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door. So I walk on up to the doorstep, through the screen and across the floor.
Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
Days of summer, the jasmine's in bloom. July is dressed up and and bring her to, and I come home.